Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. And I have to say, the theme around this week, I'm not sure what Martha was thinking of when she basically gave me a list of the upcoming themes. And one of them was Pride. And so I was like, whoa, how are we going to deal with this? And all of a sudden, we realized we had articles that we could use. We had a couple people that were going to write stuff related to this subject. And then we figured, okay, well, we got to do a show that somehow centers on this theme. And so we decided to do just that. Although, of course, you know, I'm like, wow, what am I going to say? Because I'm not prideful and I don't have issues like that. So we had to bring in a couple of guests in order to handle this topic well. And this is a very dubious honor, but we have Travis Williams back. Travis, welcome.
Hey, what's up, Boundless? So it's good to be here.
Yeah,
prideful
even,
and all.
Even for such a topic.
Yes, for and, such a topic as this.
Gary Schneeberger is also back in the studio. Gary, welcome.
It is kind of good to be here, but really I'm bigger than this. So, oh, wait a minute, that was pride.
Well, you were remembered, of course, as the smarmy reprobate from your previous time
yes.
here when you referenced
I should
yourself.
Say, oh. But right, that was before I was a Christian.
That was.
At the record show.
Yep. Okay. Now you have been redeemed.
Pride, so. Unfortunately, continues even post-Christian, I must admit. So,
this is true. But it's an interesting topic, and I think we're just going to launch right into it because it's one of those things where, you know, we grew up in Sunday school learning about pride, and it's bad, and we know that it's bad, but we don't really quite understand what it is and how it manifests itself. We just hope that it's not. It's one of those things where I think we do a lot of comparison shopping and a lot of comparison just idea making when it comes to us and other Christians. And I want to just start talking about people in general, because when we look at people, and here we are at Focus on the Family, and Focus on the Family is an organization that, you know, take some heat. Gary, you know this, mm-hmm. being in the PR world, and I was for quite a while as well. And but we can always look out there, and by out there, I just mean the world, and say, oh, you know, there are all these people, and they don't understand us, and they don't understand the gospel, and they don't understand the Lord. And so we kind of have these warm feelings towards them. Not all the time, because sometimes they're just rude and say rude things to us, so it's difficult. But there's kind of this general idea of they're the lost. We've got God on our side. We know what's up, you know. But then it comes to the church. And then it comes to employees at Focus. And then it comes to people who, quote, should know better. And then we start having issues as Christians. And then our crazy comes out. And so that's what really we want to talk about, is this dynamic of whether within the church or without, and just relating to people and where, you know, what my dad would say, the old nature, where the old nature kind of rears its ugly head, and why does it happen more with Christians than with non-Christians? And really, what does that look like as we present a gospel witness to the world? So I don't want to throw this out here. And of course, Martha's here as well. Martha, welcome.
Thank you.
She's not prideful at all. We just have her in here because, you know, so we can have two women. So
two non-prideful women.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. So so we'll be asking you guys all the questions, you know, and you
excellent.
Can provide the anecdotes.
We'll have all the answers, obviously, because we're prideful.
Exactly. So I want to just throw it out there and say, first of all, when this topic came up, when you think of pride, you think of issues, you think, I mean, the people that bug you, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Carpet.
What are you talking about?
I just think of carpet, really. No, I think that, you know what, what's funny about, when I was thinking about carpet, I was thinking about that so many church splits were caused because of the color of a carpet.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that people don't like just even the small things, that even though God calls us to big things, it's usually on the little things that we as Christians really start to butt heads on. Mm-hmm. It's going, well, we wanted red carpet. No, we wanted green carpet. And then all of a sudden, boom, the pride kind of sets in. My way's right. Nope. Red carpet's the way to go. And all of a sudden we've got a church split called the Carpet Baptist of America.
Mm-hmm. I think it's carpet, it's the organ, and it's youth ministry. Those are the three.
Yes.
That's like the trifecta.
Or the music, if there's not an organ,
yeah.
just generally.
Music.
Right, right.
Contemporary versus what. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Wow, I really threw everybody off with carpet.
Well, no, but that's good. That makes sense, and that is true. But I don't think that's a very good reflection on the church. Why? Mm. I mean, why is that such a problem for us?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a huge problem because the outside world is looking and going, well, Christians, they're supposed to be about love. They're supposed to, and I think that's what, I mean, people who remember DC Talk, there's that quote, you know, that,
is it about carpets?
it's about carpet. What is it? That's what an unbelieving world finds so unbelievable, you know, Christians can't, mm-hmm. you know, kind of come together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We profess Christ with our lips and then walk out and deny him by our lifestyle.
Exactly. Our lifestyle and how we work together as Christians doesn't always match. Mm-hmm. And so people on the outside, I think, just look and go, wow, if that's what it's all about, arguing over the carpet, arguing over the music, arguing about the title, the slogan, how we market something, that just doesn't seem where that's the heart of it.
Mm-hmm. And in the media world, there are a number of journalists who just really don't get us at Focus on the Family or Christians in general. You'll remember this when a new reporter came to cover Focus on the Family from the region. She asked one of our publicists, do you guys laugh at Focus on the Family? I mean, there was this sort of stereotype about who we are and how we behave, and that doesn't happen by accident. Mm-hmm. That happens because there is behavior out there that they're maybe exaggerating, that they're projecting onto all of us, but there are pockets of that going on. One of the things that I always say to the folks who work on our media team is that in the end, it's important that we get our message out about who Focus is and what we do, but more importantly, I think eternally, the most important thing is we sometimes are the only representation of Christ mm-hmm. that a lot of secular journalists are going to see. I know because I was a secular journalist mm-hmm. and I did not interact with a bunch of Christians. They're not in newsrooms by and large. So at the end of the day, that's the kind of thing that I think is most important, is how we're able to be normal, average, everyday people in interacting with those who are unbelievers, and demonstrate that that we're not judgmental, that we're not all of those things that some people have stereotyped us to be. But those stereotypes begin because somebody has demonstrated that.
Yeah, that's true. So, which brings me to Galatians 6, 9 through 11, which is a very famous verse and one that many refuse to memorize because then they feel they probably would have to apply it to their own lives. And it's, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Mm-hmm. And it seems like a lot of time we invest our capital in those who aren't believers. And we say, you know, okay, I'm going to store up my, you know, if I'm an introvert, I'm going to store up my energy and pour it out on those unbelieving people because I got to be, you know, put on my game face for them, or I've got to mm-hmm. do whatever. But really, in reality, and, you know, in scripture, it also says that they will know us by our love toward one another. How does that play out in your lives or not?
Well, I think that raises a good point of pride is a individual issue. I think when you get a lot of prideful together is when you have the carpet issues and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But to take responsibility for yourself and
how you can be prideful without ever saying a word, basically.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But take responsibility for how you're going to interact in different situations, I think, is important. Mm-hmm.
I have discovered myself the things that bother me the most in others are those dark areas in myself that I don't necessarily mm-hmm. want to deal with. So among Christians, I mean, we all know that the church is pretty good at gossiping and talking about so-and-so did this and that and something else. And frankly, you know, even Christian workplaces like Focus, that there's an
aspect
of
those are the respectable sins. Right. Like Jerry Bridges. Yeah.
Exactly. But I think for me, it's most difficult. I mean, if I do a spot check, okay, these five people annoyed me in the last 3 days, and I check what it is about them that annoyed me, it's you know, it's a finger pointing back at myself. Mm-hmm. It's you know, they were dismissive, they were all those things that I myself struggle with. So which is odd, because I think when it comes to the world, we as Christians find it easier to judge those who struggle with sins we don't struggle with, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is why, you know, gossip's perfectly fine and we're all okay. That's an acceptable sin. But some of those other things that maybe we don't struggle with personally, well, those are what the bad people do. Mm-hmm. And really, the source of all of that is pride, mm-hmm. because God doesn't stratify sin in that way. It's all you know, sin against Him.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Gary on that. Is that when I find myself getting in those situations, I usually pull back and I go, wait a minute, that person is kind of like me. And that's probably why I don't like them, is that they're taking up my space. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. You know, they've got a similar gifting as I have. And so now I'm going, wait a minute, how do we work together? Because we're similar, but we're still different. And it's always a struggle. I'm always convicted, because when I look at Scripture, if you look at the New Testament, how often the call for believers is to be unified in purpose and in vision and in spirit. You look in Proverbs on vision, where there is no vision, people perish. And vision is what it takes to have unity. And Christ gives us the vision, is to be unified. Looking in John, this is convicting to me. He says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them, you and me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Mm-hmm. The richness of that, and the richness of that call, so that if we as Christians can be unified, they'll know the truth about Jesus and who he says he is and what he did is the truth.
Yeah. I have, and all of us have probably experienced this, you have like little sayings that you pull out of Scripture, things that God reveals to you, and they get kind of in your head and you like to repeat them, but applying them consistently can sometimes be a challenge. But the thing that really has been impressed upon me in the last couple of years is that Christ died for our sins so that we can live with each other's. But the reality of that, you know, it makes a pithy bumper sticker and everybody said, when I said it, but to apply that to myself all the time can be difficult. You really have to stay, you know, centered in the Word and focus on those very things that Travis was talking about to be able to remember that's not just a pithy saying, that's how you should live your life.
Yeah. Well, in looking at unity, it's so interesting. I mean, that's John 17, I believe, that you were reading out of there, Travis. And the whole idea of what does it look like for us to win together and to win together, but to build others up. I mean, again, another scriptural mandate, and to build others up so that we are building up the church and ultimately elevating Christ, and to constantly look at his glory as our end goal. And I think it's so interesting how when you start breaking that down into the nuts and bolts, exactly what Gary was saying and what you, Travis, were saying about when it gets a little too close for comfort. So, for example, you know, someone at work, you know, you worked on a project together. Really, they deserve a good chunk of credit. Are you going to give it to them? Are you going to so pump up other people and so talk them up to their bosses, to your bosses, that maybe they will get the promotion, maybe they will whatever? Or on a church committee, are you going to say, your idea was so much better than mine, let's go with yours? I mean, how often do we see this kind of stuff played out? But instead, we waste so much time trying to jockey for our own position and trying to make sure that our ideas get through, or that our blah, 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 or that we are seen as smart or clever or whatever. So, I mean, it's tricky, and I think it's just exhausting. Yeah.
One of the things that, you know, from my smarmy reprobate past, when I went through AA, a couple of things in there that really were applicable to what we're talking about. One is we used to do a thing in AA in the group I belonged in the late 90s called Emotions Monday. And there'd be these stack of cards and they'd hand them out and each card would have an emotion on them and you would talk about the emotions. But one of the emotions that they did not have in the card was proud. They did not want to encourage prideful thinking. And this is a secular organization that does have quote unquote spiritual components. But that was an interesting aspect of of the way that they dealt with that. Even that group understood that as you're trying to come to recovery and you're trying to come to a place where you treat others and yourself better, that focusing on those things that you're proud of isn't good. And then the other thing, when I was leaving rehab, they had us go around in a circle and talk. You know, everybody got to say one thing nice about you and one thing that you should be cautious about. And I remember there was a guy who said to me, you know, you really, have the ability to talk and express yourself well, and boy, I wish I could do that. And I was not a Christian. I had just stopped drinking for like 5 days, but something inside me knew that what he was saying wasn't necessarily a positive. In other words, my pride wanted to say, yeah, all right, I'm a good communicator. But what I knew is that variability that he was pointing out, I'd abused, and that got me in a lot of trouble. So I think God has sprinkled through my life enough. If you stop to listen, you'll have that sense of conviction that Travis was talking about enough that you'll recognize it's not a hopeless battle. Because we all, let's face it, except for you two ladies, we all deal with pride in some ways, but I think
not me, Gary. I'm the most humble.
Well, I know.
Now is your time to do your blog shout out, Travis. You know, go to the blog, everyone.
Go to the blog and let your humble approach be known before all men. Yeah, tell us what you really think about pride,
especially about Travis, but only if you think he's amazing. Then weigh in.
Yes, I need more amazing comments on the blog. Mm-hmm. Just kidding.
Okay, so let's talk here briefly about being brought low. Because I think that that is something when we're talking about the mirror. I mean, there are some things, and there are too few people out there, I think, in the church who are going to be like, look, you are crazy. I love you. You're crazy, and you're in sin, and you're whatever. And then so I think there are too few people that are doing that. My mom is one of them. Bless her heart. She still works on it. But anyway, she's there for me. But there are circumstances I remember, and I'll share this one. And this is going to break my, you know, your impression of me, Gary. But I
don't know. It'll break the listener's impression. I already have a different.
Well, my absence of pride. But it's just so difficult, and it just is something that doesn't happen. I was in a Bible study, and a guy had made a comment, and I responded, and I too am a talker. Shocking. And I often, mind goes faster than my mouth sometimes, and I'll just blurt things out. And I just responded with something that was extremely flippant and very kind of callous towards what he had said, but it was funny. And so everyone laughed. And then we continued in the Bible study, and basically it was like 20 minutes of me mentally wrestling with the fact that I said something inappropriate. I need to apologize for this. I probably need to do it publicly, and it probably will kill me. Because I had so rested in the reputation of Lisa, she's just spiritual, and she leads this discussion, and she whatever. So I just stopped this Bible study after 20 minutes, and I said, dude, I need to apologize to you right now for what I said 20 minutes ago. And of course, he was just like, oh, you know, okay, you know, whatever. And of course, I'd made it up to this big thing that he was going to hate me, and no one was ever going to talk to me, and I'd be kicked out of the church and whatever. But it was a matter of me needing to do that and needing to come to account with the fact that I had said something wrong and I needed to deal with that. Other instances of that. How have you been brought low, and how have you learned from that?
There was one time with Facebook that I put up a status about I was going on this amazing vacation, and you know, I think people do that a little bit of haha, I'm going on vacation, you're not, whatever. But my brother-in-law added a comment to that of saying, you know, Martha, you really shouldn't do that because then someone could break into your house, they know you're gone. And I was just kind of mad. I'm like, dude, you just ruined my moment. And it was very humbling to me. And I'm embarrassed later, you know, how I handled it. But it was just something silly of Facebook, and being put in your place isn't always fun.
Yeah,
my sarcasm often gets me. Is I'll say something totally sarcastic and thinking that it's super hilarious to me. And then in the end, it ends up offending, hurting somebody. And my intentions were not that. And I find myself having to go and say, oh, I'm so sorry, dude. I did not mean that. And it's funny that you bring up Facebook. It's usually Facebook. You know, you feel like the safety net. And like you think that by typing something that you think is funny, everybody else is going to think it's funny. And then
you think that by putting a smiley face or an LOL afterwards, it forgives all sins.
Exactly.
It's a good thing that God's grace is unlimited, because now with Facebook, he's having to pull a lot of it out.
And then it's funny. I find that I don't like people that I like in real life. You know, like, because I see them on Facebook, I'm going, oh, I don't like you as much as I do in real life. And it's funny how just even that.
He's looking at me with a serious face.
No. But you find that you go, wow, just communication, like Gary, I mean, he's a master communicator, but being careful in communication, you can't be careful enough. Just like your flippant comment. I say flippant comments all the time.
Yep. And I do the same thing. And the source of that is pride.
Yeah.
I can't count the number of times. God knows, you know, 7,464,833, whatever it is, a moment will come and I have a choice to make between, am I going to be the funny guy or am I going to do the right thing, you know, right. Be quiet, not say something that could hurt someone. Because sarcasm, when you get right down to it, the best you can get is break even. The worst you get is hurting someone, and they don't feel comfortable doing it. Right. And going back to your example, Lisa, one of the things that I've learned over the years, and I would say to people who find themselves on the receiving end of those things, what your friend did in that case, I don't know, is always helpful. And I think we have a tendency to do that. When someone comes to you and says, I'm sorry, the response is often, oh, don't worry about it. And I think mm-hmm. that deprives the person mm-hmm. of the ability to be forgiven and released of that pride, of that sin. So I mm-hmm. think, you know, I try as often as possible, even if I don't believe that, you know, an apology is in order, I will say, I forgive you, because I want to give that person that blessing so that they can be released from mm-hmm. what they're feeling and what they did.
Lisa, I want to jump in too, because just because I want to say these names, really, it's just going to be awesome. So I think we're talking about pride, and so often when our pride manifests itself in fear, sarcasm sometimes comes out, even though we wouldn't think of it as fear. We're going, wait a minute, somebody might be encroaching on my space. I want to take this. There's a certain anxiousness that I think happens when we have pride. And so I'm going to bust into some scripture just because, like, it's been bursting in me for a couple weeks. So Philippians 4, I love it. You go Philippians 4, 4. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So I'm going to back up a little bit. What's going on before that? He's talking about anxiousness, but there's a situation that I think the Bible doesn't say what's happening, but there's a tension that's going on, anxiousness, pride, and it talks about two people, these two names I just really wanted to say, Euodia and Syntyche. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Euodia and Syntyche. Philippians 2.
The names of your kids. Next kids.
Yeah, exactly. I just want help boundless people when you have kids. Euodia and Syntyche. You will be hot parents. All right. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, this is another believer, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. We don't know what the conflict is. It may have been carpet. It may have been music. It may have been a multitude of different things. But there was a certain anxiousness, I believe, that manifested itself in fear. But Paul's exhortation constantly, constantly, time and time again is, let's get to the main thing. Mm-hmm. You guys may disagree on some of these things, but we need to keep the cause of Christ the number one thing that keeps us moving forward. Look at each other's talents. Look at each other's abilities. Look at the whole body of Christ. Figure out how we can be that body. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thus saith the reading from Philippians, ladies and gentlemen.
Gary, I want you to share quickly about, you know, you did several years ago a Devo mm-hmm. with another guy here at Focus on the Family, where you really had to work through a conflict that you had in the workplace that you ultimately decided to bring to light and use as a teaching example for a bunch of staff here. And I want you to talk about that
right.
just briefly.
My boss at the time and I were having a conflict, and the point of the conflict isn't important. But it was so bad and distrust was so high that we went into a staff meeting, and I had in my pocket, this is, you know, to tell you how long ago it was actually a tape recorder mm-hmm. I had in my pocket, and I was going to record the meeting because I wanted to make sure that if he said something, you know, I had it on record. That's just how bad the relationship was and how distrustful I was. But unfortunately, the tape recorder went off in my pocket and started to play sound. And it stopped the meeting dead in its tracks. And my boss looked at me and said, is that a tape recorder? And that was one of those, you know, one of those moments where you have one of two choices. Tell the truth and face multiple consequences, which could have, you know, been, you know, get fired, or find a way to lie about it. I told the truth. And what he did at that point is he received it and said, what on earth have I done that would make somebody who works for me think they have to tape record a meeting? So he reacted in humility, and his humility beget my humility. And before you knew it, we were doing what we called and continued to call for as long as he worked at Focus. And it was weird because later on, the tables were turned and he worked for me. But we were always able from that point, once we got the most difficult issues on the table, to clear out the pipes of where we were going. If you can say to your boss, I so distrust you that recorded our conversation, and there are people in this building who do not like you because of things I have said about you to them. If you can acknowledge your gossip in front of someone like mm-hmm. that, you know, talk about being brought low, and that person will receive that in humility and will give you forgiveness. It was amazing. We did a Devo tour. We wanted to call it the We Don't Hate Each Other Anymore tour and get t-shirts, and we went to like 20 different departments here at Focus, from the executive cabinet to I mean, just every place in the, and it was amazing the stories that came through from people, how God used that very tense moment in our lives, but which came out well, to help other people in the ministry, say, yeah, you know, I've been having this problem with this person, and I went and asked for forgiveness. So I don't recommend going into meetings with, now it would be a digital recorder, but I do, you know, recommend. So often when we say, you know, I'm just going to lay it on the table, what we lay on the table is what's wrong with somebody else. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, how refreshing if what we lay on the table is what we've done wrong to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Even when there's not a precipitous moment for it, we just feel, you know, we just feel convicted and recognized. We've gossiped about that person. We've said some things about that person that are bad. We're people of influence. I mean, all of us are communicators, right? So people tend to listen to the things that we have to say. And if people do that, they form opinions about someone based on just some gossip that I've spewed. That was horrible. So that was able to be worked out. We're still friends today, despite conflicts that have occurred since then. So God is good.
I love this example, though. This is, I mean, what Gary just said is fantastic. And I think for people working in ministry, or just if you're involved in the church, you're going to experience conflict. And I think that one of the things as Christians, we're not used to that, because we're like, oh, unity, unity. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be...
Well, no, the minute we have conflict, we just walk away from
exactly,
the relationship.
Exactly, that's the point.
And try to go find someone else.
We go submarine, we go underground, or we just walk away.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how Christians vote today, is they just walk away and they start maybe another church, start a parachurch ministry, start, you know, another nonprofit. But wouldn't it be interesting if we just, as Christians said, you know what, we know what the end game is. Christ has called us to the end game. We're just debating over strategies. Can we trust God that regardless of the strategy we go with, that He's going to own the results? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where pride comes in. We start thinking that we're going to own the results, and we don't allow the space for conflict. It is not okay to conflict as Christians. But can, through conflict, can we become more unified? I think we can. I think if we learn to conflict well, then we can become more unified. And I think Gary's example is great at identifying that they conflicted. They didn't conflict well in the beginning, but then toward the end, they were able to understand each other mm-hmm. a little bit better,
right.
See each other's side, and then move forward. And probably greater things were accomplished mm-hmm. with a lot better harmony. Yep. The next few months yeah. after that.
And the measure of any relationship is not absence of conflict, whether it's you know, a marriage, whether it's friendship, whether it's siblings, whether it's with your parents, whether it's with your fiancé. It's not the absence of conflict. It's how you manage conflict.
Amen.
That is the measure of the success of a relationship. And something to keep in mind about, you know, the church has a good job of saying, you know, because Jesus forgave us of our sins, and the church has a good job of asking us to, you know, to forgive others for the things that they've done to us. Here's a radical concept. Ask others
radical.
To forgive you of the things you've done. I mean, I'm one of the typical guys, grew up with daddy issues. So I'd forgiven my father like 27 times, but I had an opportunity 4 or 5 years ago to sit alone with him and ask him to forgive me for the judgments I made against him, and it was mm-hmm. absolutely freeing.
Mm-hmm. And I think if we spend a little bit more time examining our own hearts, instead of looking out at the scene around us and figuring out, okay, well, who bugs me? How do I need to manage that situation? Mm-hmm. How can I avoid them? How can I make sure I'm not in that meeting with them or on that committee with them or whatever? You know, it's what we do when we sit and take communion, you know, at our churches. You're called to examine your own heart. And, you know, it's kind of that idea of sin. You know, we put sin out there. We always say, okay, well, we all sin. We know this, blah, blah, blah. But if we just acknowledge our sin, just say, anyway, so I'm a liar. And that will manifest itself in a number of different ways. And so right. be prepared. And then once you do then lie to someone, you can say, hey, so there you go. There's a great example of it. And it just opens up that opportunity, I think, to right. be much more transparent in that.
And that's another example, if I can just, you know, yeah. jump in. The other thing that AA, I think, does well is that very thing. The first thing you say at any sort of addictive 12-step program meeting is, my name is Gary and I'm a blank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm an alcoholic. I'm a liar, I'm this, I'm that. That acknowledgement up front is not only freeing and honest, but it puts you all at the same level because everybody's sharing the same thing. Yeah. So nobody's better than anybody else. Everybody's acknowledging their stuff.
Yeah. Well, here we go. James is calling it out for us as we wrap up here. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So there's the truth about us, and we can acknowledge that, and we can move on.
This might be our best show ever. I think we should take a lot of good pride in what we accomplished today.
I feel so convicted, I just want to go eat ice cream.
Exactly.
We were unified in it. So, okay, all of you out there, we want to hear from you. Write to us at editor@boundless.org and talk to us about whether it's a story like Gary shared about just a conflict. Maybe it's something you're in right now, and neither party is willing to give up their pride or give up their piece of the pie in the situation. And what does it look like to walk forward from where you are right now, to walk in humility, to be honest about it, and to ultimately, as we started out the show by saying, lay that down so that Christ can be glorified in the midst of that. So
put your comments on the podcast, because we learn just as much from you all. So just continue to use that as an environment to share, because we love to hear from you, and maybe by what you share might encourage somebody else in their journey.